This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon, and it's time for Foodie Friday. Passover started this week, so here to talk about the holiday and Passover cuisine is Rabbi Josh. Rabbi Josh, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's so nice to have you on the show. So I'm calling you Rabbi Josh. I know some people in the community do call you that, but will you properly introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Yehoshua, which is Hebrew for Joshua, and my last name is Mizrahi, and I am a rabbi. I currently don't have a pulpit, but I find myself in Juneau this winter, and I've been working closely with the wonderful people at Congregation Sukkot Shalom in Douglas to help them in any way that I can to offer rabbinic support. Pastoral support, educational support, things of that nature for the short time that we're here.
Got it. Can you give us an example of what some of that work over at Sukkot Shalom looks like?
Well, the biggest thing, actually, Scott, is I'm working with the kids. They have an afternoon a Jewish education program there. And I've been very privileged to work with the kids in this community. And I have to tell you, I mean, I'm very, very impressed with these kids. They're a very, very bright group of young ladies and young gentlemen. And they ask super-duper questions, and it gives them an opportunity to meet someone that they might not otherwise encounter here in Juneau. And, it's really been a win-win for everybody. So it's been a wonderful experience being able to spend some time with these kids.
Let's say one of the kids asked you about Passover. How would you explain it to me and our listeners?
Sure. Passover is one of the biblical holidays that's mentioned in the Torah, which is what we Jews call, what Christians call the Old Testament, basically. And so in the book of Exodus, it talks about the story of the Jewish slaves in ancient Egypt. And the story of the 10 plagues and the exodus from Egypt. And we, every year on the same date, the date that we left Egypt 3,332 years ago, so we celebrate that in Jewish life with the holiday of Passover. And it's a 7-day long holiday, essentially. And the first day is as holy as the Sabbath itself. We don't do any work. And the last day is also extremely holy. It's a day of reflection and introspection and sort of retreating. And then the intermediate days are days to, do whatever we normally do. And the key thing about Passover, Scott, is that Jews do not eat any normal kind of bread, pasta, cakes, cookies, on Passover. For those 7 days, we eat matzah and products made from matzah. So your next question is probably going to be, what's matzah?
Yes, please.
So matzah is a thin wafer. It's made of nothing more than flour and water. But the key thing is that it's made very quickly. The water is mixed with the flour, and it goes right into the oven in a matter of minutes. It's rolled out very thin, and these little these wafers are baked. And they did not have a chance to rise. That's the key thing about matzah. It is unleavened bread. And for 7 days, the only bread we eat is unleavened. We take a break from burritos and pasta and cookies and cakes that we normally eat. And we only eat unleavened bread during the holiday of Passover. Our Christian listeners might be interested to know that the first communion wafer was actually a piece of matzah. So that's what it's about. And we recall the exodus from Egypt on the 7th day of the holiday, the last day. It happens to be the day that the Jewish people walked through the Red Sea on dry land. So that is the closing part of the holiday when we commemorate the passing through the Red Sea.
All right. So a little bit of radio magic here. You and I are talking on Tuesday because on Friday you're going to be pretty busy, I think. So when this broadcasts at, let's say, 3:30-ish, or actually I think it's going to be more like 3 o'clock this Friday, where will you be and what will you be doing?
Okay, so I mentioned a moment ago that that the first day and the last day are what the Bible calls days of holy convocation, where we don't do normal work. And for us, for Jewish people, that basically means sort of a retreat type of attitude where we disconnect from our tech. We don't use telephones and TVs and cars and things of that sort. And it's a day of prayer. It's a day of reflection. It's a day of studying Torah. It's a day of spending a lot of time with family. Of course, there's lots and lots of eating. That's sort of what we'll be doing on Friday. I'll be immersed in prayer for a good portion of the morning, and I'll be spending time studying Torah, spending time with my dear family, and really just soaking up this sort of lovely holiday that is presented to us by the Bible.
All right. If you had to look at this in relation to other Jewish holidays throughout the year, what does this one mean to you?
That's a great question. There are, in fact, three what are known as pilgrimage festivals on the Jewish calendar. And what that means is that in ancient times, the Jews from all over the land of Israel would go to the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, and they would bring their offerings to the Most High God in Jerusalem. And so these three pilgrimage festivals were extremely important. They also aligned with the agricultural cycle, and Passover is the first of them. Passover is the spring festival where the winter wheat and the winter crops were the earliest harvestings of the summer, so to speak, springtime. The second pilgrimage festival was in high summer, and then the last pilgrimage festival was in the autumn, after everything had been grown and harvested and siloed, and people were hunkering down for the winter. So Passover is, of course, it's in the springtime, and spring is wonderful. You know, things are coming back to life, and it is a holiday similar in a certain respect to Easter, in that it's the celebration of the renewal of life.
Okay, got it. Well, as you know, in addition to learning about Passover today, we are hoping that you might give us something that we can try cooking for the weekend.
Okay.
Any ideas on what we should be thinking about?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this because one of the sweet kids in the Sukkot Shalom school mentioned that there was a ice cream shop downtown that actually sells something called charoset ice cream. Now, charoset is one of the traditional foods, the symbolic foods that we eat at Passover. I should tell you one other thing, Scott, that on the first two nights of Passover, we have something called the Seder. It's a very special meal called the Seder. Many of your listeners may have heard of it. The Seder, we eat certain symbolic foods. And the whole point of the Seder is to trigger questions, particularly from the mouths of the kids. We do all kinds of things that, ritually speaking, are very unusual, as opposed to, say, a garden variety Sabbath or something like that. So all these things that we do are designed to get the kids to go, why? What's going on? And that creates a perfect segue into doing what we have to do at the Seder, which is tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. So one of the symbolic foods that we eat is something called charoset. It's a soft ch sound, like you're clearing your throat. And charoset basically, it's sweet, but it kind of represents the mortar that the Jewish people used as slaves when they had to build cities for the pharaohs and the pyramids and things of that sort. And charoset is a lot of fun. It's sweet and it's easy to make. And there are actually many, many different variations of it. I'll give you the most common variation, at least the one that we used in our house. And maybe we can talk about a few of the others as well. But basically, you take apples and you peel some apples. You'll notice that the measurements here are very, very flexible. You take some apples. and you and then you take some walnuts and you grind those both up pretty well in a mortar and pestle and a food processor, and you add some cinnamon, and then you add a little bit of like Manischewitz sacramental type wine, that's syrupy sweet wine, which is used for sacramental purposes. I think you can get it here in Juneau. And if not, just take a cheap Cabernet and just add a bunch of sugar to it.
Right.
but in any case, you add a little bit of the sacramental wine to it, just to give it a little bit of body and it holds together. And that's it. That's called Jaroset. And it, like I said, it looks brown, sort of pasty, and it represents the mortar that the Jews had to use to build all those buildings in ancient Egypt.
How would you spell Jaroset?
I would spell it C-H-A-R-O-S-E-T.
All right. And you've mentioned the consistency is sort of pasty at the end?
Yeah. Yeah. It's it holds together. It's sort of thick. And it kind of holds together like mortar, but it's very sweet, and it's actually it belies its symbolism, because it even though it represents bitterness, it actually tastes pretty good. We also eat bitter herbs at the Seder to remind us of the bitterness of slavery, that nobody should be a slave to another person, and all kinds of other symbolic foods. But Jaroset is the easiest and funnest. And give that a try.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to the apples for a sec, you said to peel them, right?
Yeah, or... you peel them. Usually we usually use apples, but, you know, any crisp, medium tart apple or will pretty much do. And that's how it works. And you just... My granddad used to make it in a mortar and pestle, but you can do it in a food processor, sure. And just don't over blitz it, because then it'll just be sort of paste. I want to keep it the texture kind of crunchy.
Sort of a minced apple?
You don't want to pulverize the nuts.
Yeah, sort of a minced
apple. Walnuts.
Yeah.
Walnuts, cinnamon, and just a little bit of kosher sacramental wine. But if you don't have walnuts, you can use cashews or pistachios, and you can mix it up. Whatever sounds good to you. Now, in other Jewish communities, particularly in the Middle East, they use date honey instead of what the European Jews use, because the European Jews didn't have any date honey, didn't have access to it. But they would use date honey. They would use whole dates. They'd chop up dates and figs and maybe raisins. And there's a date honey is called the silan. And so that's the key ingredient in the Mediterranean type of Jaroset. But it's the same basic idea. It's sweet and it has nuts in it and dried fruit, etc.
All right. Well, this sounds like a lot of fun to try and make this and taste it. It looks delicious.
Yeah, give it a try. Give it a try.
And Rabbi Josh, I'm wondering, you know, it's strange times for sure as you go into this Passover. Are you finding that you're adjusting your teachings to some of the children? And if so, what are you telling them?
Well, you know, it's very, very hard to make sense or look for a higher meaning for what we're going through right now. I think that it's going to take the fullness of time and a lot more reflection after this passes and after those who are sick are healed, and hopefully no one else succumbs to this terrible, terrible plague. And it's going to take time for us to really make sense of it and to try to impute some meaning into what we're living through, why it's happening now. Things are not random, that's for sure, but we're not always privy to the reasons of why things have to happen, when they do and how they do, etc. The most important thing is we need to support one another and we need to come together as communities in the best way that we can. And we need to, pay attention of the suffering of the other. And any way that we can help people without putting ourselves at risk, I think we have a moral obligation to do that. And we'll come through this together. And it's certainly changing a lot of things. You mentioned the kids. So we've resorted to Zoom classes as opposed to meeting in person, of course. There are, a lot of people that are staying in touch with family all over the country and all over the world with video conferencing, because Passover historically is one of those holidays where families get together from all over to come sit at one table. Because, listen, how can you fight properly if, you're not sitting at the same table, right?
Right.
But this year, no, everyone is having their Passover Seders in place. That's obviously very disconcerting and disruptive for people because we're used to being surrounded by our cousins and family and friends, distant relatives, et cetera. But we have to do the best we can under trying circumstances and make the best of it.
All right, Rabbi Josh, I really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing the recipe for haroset. Am I saying that correctly?
Very good. Well done. Yeah, you got it.
All right, sir. Again, this is Tuesday, and by the time this airs, it will be Friday and still in the early days of Passover. We appreciate your time. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, you know what? I just want to give a shout out to all the lovely people here in the Jewish community in Juneau that have welcomed us and have made us feel like family here. A special shout out to Cheryl for suggesting this. And we've had the privilege of meeting a lot of lovely, lovely people here. And I just want to say thank you to everyone. We really appreciate the warmth that everyone has shown to us.
All right, Rabbi Josh, thank you so much.
Take good care, Scott. Thanks again for inviting me on.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you.